The Fan on Demand. Primetime Sports. Now. On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Primetime Sports. It is the Friday Roundtable. I am Jeff Blair. I am joined today, and what a roundtable this is. To my left, Elliot Friedman, hockey insider, hockey reporter for Rogers Hockey. That's what the title
that's
is.
That's a lot of hockeys.
It is a lot of hockeys.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
The Department of Redundancy Department, indeed. Ken Reed of Sportsnet and Arash Madani of Sportsnet. A rare time that Arash is in Toronto. You're not off gallivanting someplace.
We got two Nova Scotians on this side of the table.
That's right. This is the eastern side of the table.
That's right. Simultaneous translation will be provided on the Sportsnet website with a couple of
Nova Scotians there. Truro and Pictou are this close and getting along like this.
Right.
Truro v. Pictou.
I can't believe a guy from Pictou is wearing pink.
We used to have to go to Truro to get our pants, so thank you.
We've heard that the entire town. Before. You didn't hear from Fat Jerry last night, did you?
Not yet. No, okay. It's Rotund Gerald.
Rotund Gerald?
Okay. Yeah.
Anyhow, we don't want to go there, do we?
You already did.
Okay.
By the way, guys, Jeff referred to this as the young roundtable. So congratulations for being young and hip.
Yeah, it's the rare roundtable where I don't lower the average age. All right. I didn't say that. The Toronto Blue Jays go to Yankee Stadium, where they never win. Well, they haven't won for 16 games. And where Mark Burley never wins. He pitches tonight. He hasn't won in a decade. Sounds difficult to say. But the Jays go in with a bit of wind in their sails, having taken two of three from the Boston Red Sox.
Three of four.
Close. Three of four Canadian, two of three American. Having taken three of four from the Red Sox with Marcus Stroman fiddling around with a no-hitter yesterday, and Aaron Sanchez pitching two innings of relief that has apparently now made him untradeable, according to a lot of people, which I don't buy necessarily. But the bandwagon's filling up again. Since the All-Star break, they have the second-best batting average in Major League Baseball. They also have the...
I thought batting average was an irrelevant statistic now.
No, batting average... Well, we can get into that later. That's coming up later in the hour, the future of hockey.
Oh, sorry.
We've got some studying to do for that, by the way. No, in terms of slugging percentage, they lead major leagues since the All-Star.
What's their OPS? What's their FIP and their XFIP?
What's their
BABIP?
BABIP. I'm not looking up their BABIP. Needless to say, the Jays are playing pretty well at the All-Star break, and they need to continue this at Yankee Stadium. But the performance of Stroman and the performance of Sanchez coming, 6 days before the Major League trade deadline raises the question. Having had a taste now of what these two guys are about, do you consider trading a young arm for help in the playoffs?
Oh, I think Stroman's now, it's too late.
Yeah, totally.
I think if you're a team that was hoping to get Stroman as a prospect, it's too late. After yesterday, I don't know if you're even, now, if you're going to deal a guy like Stroman, are you going to deal him for a year and a half maybe of price?
He's their best.
I don't think so.
He's their best starting pitcher right now. I mean, we had this discussion with Perkins and with Zahn, and one game playoff right now. One game playoff. Who do you start right now?
I start Mark Burley.
I think you guys are insane. I start Marcus Stroman.
Burley, but I put Stroman is my first guy up.
Like Rick Vaughn in Major League. Be ready.
We're
going to go with Eddie, but Ricky, you be ready.
But you know what, Jeff? It's not a ridiculous question. I mean, the thing is now is that, I have this thing, and this was going to be my question to you is...
Wait, am I getting questions?
Because you covered baseball the longest. How many prospect or established player trades...
Yes.
Has the team getting the prospect won?
Cleveland Indians with the Montreal Expos.
That's one.
Bartolo
Colon.
Seattle and Montreal.
Bartolo Colon, Brandon Phillips, and Grady Sizemore was a pretty good haul.
The Randy Johnson trade is two.
Yeah.
Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson is the big one.
Doyle
That's three.
Alexander for John Smoltz.
Yeah, but at least Doyle Alexander got them into the playoffs.
Jeff Kent for David Cohn, but
David Cohn worked for
David Cohn. David Cohn won a World Series. I don't really count that.
Yeah. No, that's I'm just throwing it out.
Here's one thing I looked at today. What do these players have in common? Jason Knapp, Carlos Carrasco, Jason Donald, Lou Marson, Tyson Gillies, the Canadian, Philippe Aumont, J.C. Ramirez, Matt Larson, Blake Bevin, Josh Lukey, and Justin Smoke.
Nine people who've never been in my kitchen.
All involved in the Cliff Lee trades.
Very good.
Wow.
Those are all the prospects that were traded for Cliff Lee.
I'm leaving right now.
That was very good.
I'm leaving right now.
And how many of those
guys... You guys talked about that, by the way, before he came on, didn't you?
No.
No, we didn't.
Like, how many of those guys that got traded for Cliff Lee are the team that gets Cliff Lee regretting that they traded? None of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, I think now Stroman is past that point. I think you're looking at him now if you trade him and you're saying that's a big risk. But to me, Sanchez isn't as big a risk yet.
Not yet, but even like I mean for Stroman, even for the short term, because oh man, they need a 3 or 4 starter. Well, they got that all of a sudden. I still think they need another pitcher. Maybe there's somebody,
Absolutely.
Some serviceable arm out there. Like I don't know, and like Price would obviously be over the moon, but you'd have to give up a ton for Price. But maybe just get some mid-range guy because they need more pitching. But Stroman, yeah, I think I would not trade him right at this point, but Sanchez, maybe you do want to dangle him. As you know, it sucks. It's a pretty nice little story, but it's about winning. It's not about, you know, happy.
Yeah, you know, and from what I've seen of the Jays so far at this stage, I think Alex's priority has to be the bullpen, to be honest.
And yeah.
I'm assuming, let me preface this by saying I'm assuming that Encarnacion and Lind are going to be back at some point in the next 3 or 4 days, that is going to happen. And that Laurie is, in fact, going to be back at some point in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I'll preface that.
That's next 2 or 3 years or next 2 or 3
weeks? 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. What we but
Lyndon and Encarnacion by the 1st of August, Laurie by the middle of August.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Lyndon and Encarnacion aren't back by Monday.
Right.
But yeah, the point is all that aside, assuming they come back, assuming there's no setbacks, if I'm Alex Anthopoulos right now, I'm looking at that bullpen and thinking I need a lot of help in the bullpen. And I think what's going to happen is he's going to address issues after the trade deadline, just the way the Pittsburgh Pirates did last year. And we may see Alex not make a move at the deadline, which 3 weeks ago, a month ago, would have been inconceivable for a lot of people. You know, unless there's a starting pitcher out there that can come in and give him, you know what, 8 starts after, I don't even know the math, 8 to 10 starts after August. I don't even know if that works out. But you know what I mean? A guy that can come in and give them some starts and not cost a great deal. Other than that, I don't know if they're going to make a move.
Would you be satisfied with that?
Why would the Tampa Rays move David Price?
Well, that's
right
the issue. I've been saying...
They're back in it.
I've been saying for 2 months that... Not only are they back in it, but he's not a free agent at the end of the,
Correct.
Of the winter.
Yeah. You'll get more next year. You'll get more from him in the winter.
Well, not
I'm
only
not
that,
sure of that.
You give a team
I'm
a window.
Not sure about that.
You give a team a window in the winter to negotiate
That's
for 2 or 3 days
thing.
On an extension.
You can do that now.
It's hard in season.
It's hard in season, but my point is that and I do believe this, Arash, do you get more out of me if I can have him for 2 playoffs or 1?
I hear what you're saying, Elliot, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But why would Tampa part with
him? Now, that's a different question. Right. But I'm just arguing with your point that he's more valuable in the offseason. I think he might be more valuable. Like, if it's important to Tampa Bay to make the playoffs, keep him. But my argument is if I was a GM on the other team, you could probably sell me on getting him for 2 playoffs instead of 1.
Here's the thing.
How many teams are coming at him right now, though?
I'm sure there are a few.
Here's the thing, though. If somebody was going to make that deal, and to build on what Elliot says, I think that deal would have been made by now. Because if you're taking that approach, I want David Price for 2 playoffs, you're probably also thinking, I want to get David Price at the 1st of July
right.
so I can get 3 or 4
Or get it done at the All-Star break.
Right. I just think that, I'll tell you what, I think Tampa Bay's got as much a chance of winning this division as the Jays do.
That's a different story altogether.
I know, but that has to factor into it.
Yep.
Jeff, I think Tampa Bay has as good a chance to win the division as anybody. Not just the Jays.
So yeah. I would not disagree with that.
If you're the Jays and you don't think they're going to make a trade and maybe Alex just tweaks after the 31st, are you just tweaking to make the playoffs? Is that all you want right now out of the Blue Jays is just to make the playoffs?
I think that's what their fan base would say.
Well, but if you just want to make the playoffs, why not load up and try to go a little further if you're this close?
I disagree with your thinking on that because I think if one thing we've learned now from playoffs in just about any major team sport is all you have to do is get in.
Right.
Yeah.
All you have to do is get in. And then then your odds change.
The difference is effectively you're playing for that one game playoff.
Right.
Yeah. That's different than a playoff series.
Right.
You're playing for one game.
So what I'm saying is why not load up? Because the Oakland A's have been living by the whole theory of as long as we get in, and they still haven't won anything.
But,
right?
But load up with what?
The St. Louis Cardinals won 86 games and won a World Series.
Right.
Yeah.
It can be done now. How many teams now have won the World Series in the last, since that wild card was introduced, and you can even go back to 95, that were not a team that would have made the playoffs in the first place? There have been a few.
Yeah.
Load up. The notion of loading up, I think, before we even go there, is where are the deficiencies on this team right now? One, second base. Even when everybody comes back, they haven't had a second baseman. It's been a revolving door all season long. And the other is the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Delabar has gone from the All-Star game to AAA. Sergio Santos has gone from the closer at the start of the season because Jansen wasn't ready to out of the conversation. And
what about center field right now?
You have your guy.
You fine with it?
Of course.
Right now, but...
Which guy?
Ghost Rasmus. Or Colby?
Rasmus. Rasmus is your guy.
Hitting the ball, though.
But I think...
He's kind of taking some weird routes to it.
Yeah, but I think to Arash's point and to Ken's point as well, if you are going to make a massive deal for a position player, it's got to be... I'll throw out a guy... I don't even think he's going to be traded, but a guy like Starlin Castro. It's got to be a guy who's going to come to your team for 4 years and either be a shortstop or a second baseman and allow you to do what you are going to have to do with Jose Reyes
right
at some point in the next 2 years, and that's find another position for him because he can't play shortstop much longer.
Can Castro especially play second?
I think you'd probably stick him at short and Reyes at second, and away you go. Or you find a third baseman. The Jays have to settle. The problem right now with the Jays infield is you've got a shortstop who's going to need to shift positions. You've got nobody at second base that you could look at and say, this is going to be my guy going forward, unless it's Brett Laurie, mm-hmm. who's currently sort of your incumbent third baseman. I mean, ideally, I think if you're the Jays, you go into next season with either Laurie, another everyday shortstop, Reyes, and Encarnacion, or everyday third baseman, another shortstop. Everyday third baseman, Reyes, Laurie at second, and Encarnacion at first. And that, to me, if you're Alex, you make that type of deal if it addresses that situation. But other than that, then I'd rather just fine-tune. Unless I'm getting a guy who's going to help me. That's why I'm glad they didn't get Chase Headley. Unless I'm going to get a guy who's going to help me.
Jeff, you know Alex. Is he looking that far down the road right now? Or is he saying, I got to get this thing going right now so I'm here next year to make those decisions?
I think he's, from talking to him and on and off the record and talking to people around him, he's fixated on this year.
Right.
But he won't overpay to win this year. He won't, for example, he wouldn't give up a Sanchez for Chase Headley is what I'm saying.
Has that been the case all year?
That's not a move.
Yes, it's been the case.
I think Anthopoulos strikes me as the kind of guy who wouldn't ruin his reputation to save a year, even if it's his job.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think he'd make a deal just to save his job.
I think the from listening to him, Jeff, and you can tell me if I'm wrong because I don't deal with him anywhere near as much as you do, but he strikes me as the kind of guy who won't make a big trade to save his job this year if he knows that trade's going to kill him in years to come.
Yeah, totally.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
But, the one caveat I'll always put out there, one thing about Alex is Alex's players that he likes, and Alex doesn't give up in a deal. And, we talk about the Marlins deal last year. That came about because he wanted Josh Johnson and tried to get him at the trade deadline. It didn't work out. Went back, tried to get him at the winter meetings or over the winter. That's what started the whole discussion with the Marlins. Alex asked to expand it. Jose Reyes, a guy he calls one of his favorite players, And that's one of the things with Alex is when Alex hones in on something, and maybe that works to his detriment at times, I think he really, it almost gets to the point where he has to have the guy.
I think you can upgrade your bullpen talent after the non-waiver trade deadline. I'm not quite sure what you're going to be able to find in August from an infield standpoint to upgrade at second base. And I'm... You can't rely on him at all. I think his season's over, but he threw off a mound yesterday and he's still got his hand bandaged. But I really wonder about Brandon Morrow. Will we see
can
him
you
again?
Count on that guy? Would he not
that's,
be,
that's the whole point.
You could maybe count on him out of the bullpen.
Well, that's it. That's,
you can't. You cannot count on this guy.
I'm looking at him like he's a bonus.
Sure.
If he shows up.
Because the whole point here is, in addition to where they are, I really think they're reaching a point where Drew Hutchison, I think, has just hit a wall. And I'm just not sure in his first real full season of pitching in the big leagues, coming off Tommy John surgery, how many more legitimate bullets this guy has.
Yeah, we'll know after this weekend. I think
right.
if he gets hit this weekend, he'll be shut down without Hutchison. Yeah.
Then where are you?
And what about this? You know, you look at Sanchez. He had that great outing, and maybe he's good for the pen. But how many innings does that guy seriously have left in him this year?
28
right.
left.
He was on 30 innings, right, when he came up. So he's got 28 to go. So come mid-September or even, I don't know, late August, we might be looking back at this point going, oh, remember that nice little story about Aaron Sanchez?
I mean, I said for a couple of weeks now that I think that in about a month, I think the Jays bullpen could have three or four different guys in it. May have a totally different look.
Sure.
Than you're seeing right now. I think Loop, Jansen, and Cecil, they're guys in there right now.
And
Sanchez
Redmond.
Will be around. And Red, maybe.
Delabar,
what about Delabar? Is he done?
I think Delabar's done. I'll be surprised if we see him back in the majors.
Hasn't regained the velocity,
He's got, his velocity hasn't come back. And just people in Buffalo, you ask them, you get kind of this, I mean, he wouldn't be the first guy to come up and be great out of nowhere, and then just totally.
Every
totally
guy
disappear.
Grange does a big feature on just goes totally into the tank, eh?
They're not sending him over
Grange.
He's not doing anything on Andrew Wiggins, is he?
He better not talk to Kyle Lowry anytime
That's
soon.
Right. Grange feature equals nowhere. Would you be satisfied if they did nothing?
If they.
We're talking by the end of July.
If they're where they are right now in the standings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say ask me in October.
Yeah, you know what? That's the coward's way out, Reed. Hey, you can't answer that.
Look at these pipes. You think I'm a brave man?
You know,
I got nothing.
The other thing, and this is kind of unfair, but the other two, I mean, it depends. If at the trade deadline you don't really see a lot of guys moved, impact guys, then yeah, then I'd be happy. But on the other hand, if you do see David Price or you see all these guys, a bunch of guys move, I'm not even going to include Cliff Lee in there, but if Chase Utley, David Price, or somebody like John Lester ends up moving, then I'm going, okay.
And Lester has told the Red Sox he is not going to negotiate now through the end of the regular season. They made the lowball offer to him, and he said this is going to be dealt with in the winter period.
There are people around the Red Sox that think that bridge is irreparable. It's torched.
It's been napalmed?
Yeah. It is a Friday roundtable. It is Jeff Blair, Ken Reed, Elliot Friedman, and Arash Madani. Let's go around. The trade deadline is coming up on July 31st. I'll ask you, what do the Jays need right now? Biggest commodity the Jays need, Elliot.
I just think at this time of year, you can never have enough pitching. You decide where it is, but I don't think you can ever have enough.
Mm-hmm. Arash?
I think a starting pitcher, to me, the bullpen, you can find that elsewhere, but I think a starting pitcher upgrade would be ideal. And if it meant parting with Aaron Sanchez, even after six outs on a Wednesday evening in Toronto, I'd do it.
I would too. I'm with Arash.
Man, you can paint a picture.
I'm not doing Stroman anymore. I think people have lost
you
their window.
You need Stroman.
Well, I just think people have lost their window on Stroman. He's proven now he can get major league hitters out.
But right, and you need him.
Like not only that, you need him right now. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's a necessity at this point.
I'll go unanimous. It's starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And if you can find somebody to play second base, please do it quickly. But starting pitching. Ryan Goins, fine defensively. His bat was okay the other night, but
he's on a tear.
He's on a tear. Find a second baseman, but first and foremost, get another starting
pitcher. First and foremost, get healthy. So Deonor Navarro is not your cleanup hitter for the fifth consecutive night.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the biggest acquisition they need is health right now. I don't know. I'm thinking the bullpen. And I look at this team right now. I'm thinking the bullpen.
Maybe if you get another starting pitcher, you move Jay Happ to the pen. Morrow comes to the pen.
No, you know what? I don't want to. I could see Morrow coming out of the pen. I really need another power arm in that pen. And I don't know. You know, I loved when I heard they were talking about Joaquin Soria. That's the type of arm I'm talking about. I'm talking about a guy
that can. You don't think they could have gotten him for what Detroit gave up? Like, when I heard that trade, and I admit, I don't spend a ton of time around baseball anymore, but I do think that baseball, more than any other sport now, overrates prospects.
Oh, 100.
Like I said, 100%. That list I read with Cliff Lee, like, I looked at that, like, to me, Soria, like, I love that guy. When I used to do baseball rotisserie pools, I made sure I had that guy every year, and his numbers, like, in terms of, like, the home runs allowed and the strikeouts per walks, like, I was looking at that deal, and I was actually wanted to ask you that. Could they have not done that deal?
The only thing, by the way, more overvalued than a baseball prospect is a future draft pick in the
hockey?
National Football League.
Oh, and yeah, same deal.
The value of a first-round draft pick is...
Like, I looked at that deal, and I said, and I was going to ask you that, could Toronto have made that deal?
Of the guys who have gone, that's kind of the... Again, Chase Headley. I don't want any part of Chase Headley. I don't care what it takes.
Even though he was the first Yankee in 70 years to drive in the game-winning run, his first game.
You got what? You got pitching prospects. Two pitching prospects: Jake Thompson, Corey Knebel. So you're probably looking
both from Texas.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, we had the whole prospect discussion this week anyway.
Yeah, but that's a deal that would kind of disappoint me. I'd like to see the Jays would step up for that, but. You know, yeah, we had the prospect discussion, and it kind of drives me nuts because, you know, when the Oakland Athletics made the deal for Jeff Samardzija,
we all realized they couldn't make that deal.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you know, and people, yeah, there's a guy who scouts for the Cubs that I've known for years, and I sent him an email and said, you know, I kept hearing that you guys had an interest in the Jays, and you know, he said, look, it comes down to this: Dalton Pompey's a nice player. We don't think he's going to be an everyday major leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron Sanchez, nice pitcher. We look at him as a fourth or fifth. And same with Daniel Norris. Stroman he loved. But he also said, we're not getting Stroman and Sanchez. And this, you know, and so I tweeted that out. People came back, well, what do you mean? So-and-so's got this guy ranked higher than... And people need to understand, prospect rankings, it's basically... Doesn't matter.
Right.
Your prospect is only worth what I will give you for him.
Correct. So what I said,
doesn't
Arash,
matter what anybody else thinks.
So how I tried to relate it to the listeners, Arash, and you'll appreciate
and maybe,
this.
Just maybe that's the thing with
Please
Soria.
Tell me this is going to be a hockey analogy.
No, it's not a hockey analogy. But basically your prospects are like your 1990 Donruss baseball cards. You might think they're worth a lot, but your favorite baseball card dealer, John Surrett, at the batter's box in Truro, Nova Scotia, if you think they're worth 20 and John Surrett will only give you 50 cents, they're only worth 50 cents. See what I'm saying? That was just for Arash and I.
Invited him on, Blair.
We spiked in sport. No, I did not. We spiked in Sportsnet East there, I think.
Yeah.
With all the huge mentions of Truro.
Sportsnet Colchester County.
That's one of the dangers with prospects is everybody is so aware of prospects now because it's such a topic of conversation in social media. I mean, you can watch games online. It's a big deal. But believe me,
I'm not picking on the guy, but 5 years ago, J.P. Arencibia was
the man.
He was going to take over the world.
But every prospect is going to take over the world. No one ever looks at their
Billy
the next
Bean
big
was a fourth
thing.
Overall
then,
draft pick.
Ben McDonald, Todd Van Poppel, go down the list.
And then Declan McGuire ends up quietly going to Oakland today.
Yeah.
Yes.
For cash.
Right.
For cash. Yeah.
So it gets back to the whole
prospects.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes a team just doesn't want to trade with you. You know, everybody's wondering why did the Detroit Tigers, couldn't the Jays step up for Doug Fister in the offseason? They never had a chance. You know why? Because Detroit wanted to trade him out of the American League.
Right.
Like you can't always look at deals that are made and go, boy, if Alex had offered this. No. Because it's
that
entirely...
Soria one though made me wonder.
Yeah, that one made me wonder. But it's I don't pretend to know enough about the pitchers that went in that deal. But it's like anything else; it's entirely possible that somebody, you know, somebody in the Texas organization really, really likes Jake Thompson or Corey Knebel. But that's, you know, that's a good point you made and a good point you raised about prospects. It's just, it's really hard to sit there and come up with a almost like a common denominator to rate prospects. And I go back to that Samardzija deal, and the Cubs scout said to me, look, our plan was if we're going to trade those two pitchers, we've got to get a couple of everyday position players, which they did. I mean, the Cubs right now, you go around the lineup 4 years down the road, 3 years down the road, they're going to have basically a who's who of this year's prospect class. Yes. But that was their plan.
And maybe we had to get half position of them will turn out.
Sure. Yeah. But their plan
but
was
there's been more excitement.
We need to get position players. And that's the thing. The other thing that people don't realize is the Jays farm system, they just don't have very many position players.
They're in Miami and Queens.
Yeah. They don't. So
which one would you prefer to be in, Miami or Queens?
It depends on the time of year.
Didn't Grange do a story on Daniel Norris? Who did the Daniel Norris story?
No, that was Garrett Joyce.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. So Daniel Norris, you're all right.
He'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Now you got me thinking about the Grange thing, you know?
He's a curse.
Grange has done two. I don't know if this means anything, but Grange has done two pieces on Kyle Dubas this week. Did you guys notice that?
I read one of them.
If you're Kyle Dubas.
So what's going to happen? Something's happening to Kyle or something happens to Kyle's computer?
Or he gets a lot of parking tickets.
I'm just throwing that out there. So, we've gone around the table. I think we figured out what we each think the Jays need to do at the deadline. And maybe we have different points of view. But I'll ask you guys, and again, I'll go around the table. Your best guess. Trade deadline passes on July 31st. Has Alex done anything of significance? And by significance, I mean a trade where you go, wow.
No.
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 What the hell? I'll just say yes.
There you go.
Even though I don't, I'm going to take the McCowan role of saying something I don't really believe just for the sake of being different.
You know what you could do? You could do the Matt Devlin thing when we're going around who wins the World Cup. Devlin goes, Germany. And we all looked at him and he goes, well, nobody's picking Germany. So there you go. Somebody's got to be right at some point. We got to talk a bit about the future of hockey as well. The hiring of a 28-year-old assistant general manager by the Toronto Maple Leafs, an analytics guy. I can hear people are throughout the hockey world are kind of concerned about this.
Shouldn't you be hitting your keyboard instead of shuffling your paper?
People are a little concerned. People are a little concerned because
you know what I find amazing about this whole thing.
Are we doing this in this segment?
No, no. We're gonna.
I think I know what you find amazing about it.
In radio, they call that a tee up, a listener hook.
A rash.
I was gonna tee it up, but you just kind of.
Well, wait.
Kind of screwed it up.
Okay. Well, it's not the first time.
Can you hold your thought?
I think so.
Can you hold? No, I'm not even gonna. I was going to say something really, really, really tacky, but I won't bother. It's a Friday roundtable. Jeff Blair, Ken Reed, Elliot Friedman, and Arash Madani on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
We're back. It is the Friday Roundtable. Jeff Blair, Elliot Friedman, Ken Reed, and Arash Madani. For your listening and even for your viewing pleasure. There's a lot to talk about. We got to do the Bills in Toronto thing in the National Hour. That'll get people excited. We don't have it in the National Hour anymore. I want to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. No, Toronto Maple Leafs. Hiring a 28-year-old assistant GM, Kyle Dubas, who he's an analytics guy. And I did like the line in my Sportsnet column where I said they went the Leafs fired two guys who had hockey cards, you know, of themselves, mm-hmm. Poulin and Loisel, and they were replaced by a GM who looked like he should get carded. Cards.
I thought that was a good line, too. But, you know what, he isn't just an analytics guy.
I thought it was
guy.
The worst line in an otherwise good column.
Yeah, he's a hockey guy as well. It's not like he's never smelled the inside of a dressing room. I mean, he's been around the game for a long time. I mean, you know, he's not just some nerd who's sitting there batting out numbers. He knows the game.
What?
Why is it that every single analytics person is compared to Billy Beane? Why?
It's the standard.
Kyle Dubas knows how to run an Excel spreadsheet. Kyle Dubas crunches numbers more than somebody else. Therefore, he is the next Billy Beane.
Because the general public knows who Billy Beane is because of a movie and a book. That's why.
Well, it's ridiculous.
I didn't.
Is it
any
more ridiculous than the fact that a hire of an assistant general manager is such an enormous story in this market?
Right.
Like, what other city would the hiring of an assistant general manager get as much attention as this has?
You know,
it
what?
Wasn't just the hiring of a general manager, though. It was the assistant
general
it was
manager.
The dismissal.
It's like George Costanza, assistant to the traveling secretary.
Yeah,
it was the dismissal of the two assistant general managers.
No, it wasn't. No, Arash, I'm sorry. It's all about the analytics thing. This is a proxy war for the geeks versus the jocks.
Oh, that's right.
That's exactly what this is. It is all because of these stupid fights on Twitter between people who support analytics and people who don't in hockey. This guy's been thrown in the middle of this gong show.
If they made an actual hockey move on the ice, though, with player personnel, and they made this move this summer, would it have gotten this much attention? Say they pulled off a great trade or made a big signing. Would this have gotten this much attention?
Yes, because it's Toronto.
Mm. Okay.
Absolutely it would. And it's because of the fights on Twitter.
Yeah, but you know, I totally disagree
with that.
Okay,
I think what you're looking at here is...
You don't even like
is,
hockey, you can't disagree with it.
Sure. Yeah. What this move signified is what is the future? What is the leash of Dave Nonis? What is the future and leash of Randy Carlyle? What is the direction of this organization going to be, and who's going to be running this thing? To me, this was not about analytics and not analytics. This was Brendan Shanahan has come in. He's made his first bold move, and now it appears that Dave Nonis is not making the hires, and Dave Nonis lost two of his lieutenants, and now it's Nonis' boss who is taking things over.
Let me politely disagree with you.
Sure.
I think that the Dave Nonis' future was already in question. I don't think this changes anything.
I really don't.
I think that Dave Nonis knew from the moment that Brendan Shanahan came here that his future was in question.
Right.
I don't think this also has anything to do with Randy Carlyle's future. I think Randy Carlyle knew once his assistant coaches were fired and he threatened to quit and they gave him an extension. But I think he's known for a while under Brendan Shanahan and even possibly Dave Nonis, Randy Carlyle's own future was in question. I don't think that this changes anything for those two guys. What I think this is about is Brendan Shanahan feels the organization needs to be open to some different thoughts. Kyle Dubas is a guy who at a very young age has the reputation of willing to look things a little bit differently.
Right.
And that's what this is.
Sure.
I don't think this changes Dave Nonis' future or Randy Carlyle's future, even if those two guys have been fired or not.
Can I throw something out here? I'm not entirely certain that the line of secession goes from Nonis to Kyle Dubas.
I agree with you there, too.
My thinking, that's why when this happened, that was sort of my first reaction.
My first reaction was taking over. My point is that now Nonis is not even able to hire his own assistant GM.
I agree, but my first reaction was, okay, so this is the new GM. And then you look at it and you go, not really. No.
Not necessarily.
But, I mean, the thing that Elliot does bring up about the whole analytics aspect of this, I mean, and I refer to this in my column on sportsnet.ca, is this is the same stuff that happened in baseball when guys, and actually it's happening a lot in the premiership and soccer too, because now they've got Optus Stats, they're going that way as well. They're hiring guys to do breakdowns, you know, mileage run by players and all this. And we saw the same thing in baseball, and everybody picked a side. And, I mean, guys would get in fights. I remember J.P. Ricciardi getting hammered by guys like Tracy Ringlesby and Bob Elliott and all that because he was kind of a new school guy and he was firing all these scouts and he was going to come in and he had this, you know, the way he wanted to run the team was so different than the way the Jays had been run all the time. And then you had everybody talking about VORP and WAR and all these stats. And it got crazy. And then you know what happened at some point? And I point this out in the column. At some point, people said, this stat's is kind of hard to understand. This stat's kind of cool. This makes no freaking sense. And stuff that could be utilized on a daily basis, the stuff that was sort of that was applicable to a lot of things, those stats became part of the everyday conversation. But a lot of the other stuff didn't. No one talks about VORP anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and, well, you know, I think
the biggest thing, and actually I talked to Alex yesterday and Anthopoulos, and he made the point what it really did is it got people thinking about, okay, how can we be more efficient in how we put our team together? Where can we find value? He said the other thing it did is it taught us to be more efficient. And he told me the story about a couple of years ago when he was working in the scouting department. He said, we couldn't call up ground ball rates for college starting pitchers. No, didn't have, and this isn't that long ago. This is maybe 6-7 years ago. So he and Andrew Tenish went through every box score they could find from the college pitchers they were interested in and would mark down one ground ball out, one fly ball out, two fly ball outs, three fly ball outs, and put it together. And his whole point was it got us thinking, how can we do things more efficiently and how can we do things better? And that's what's going to happen here in hockey.
Well, and just to take that a bit further, by the way, I think Dubas and Tenish have a history.
Yes, they've spoken.
I think they might have both gone. I can't remember. Did they both go to Brock or something?
Yes,
Brock
they did.
I think they're both Brock's.
Yeah. So,
by the way, I'm going to name drop my producer, Travis McKenzie, because he was just behind these guys. He was actually behind.
So when's he becoming a general manager? Yeah. So Travis, you lazy bum. How come you're not a GM?
Travis
yet?
Will be the next assistant GM of the Vikes.
To take that a bit further.
He'd be an improvement,
yeah,
believe
he
me.
Would.
One of the things that I heard, and just in doing some research on him this week, one of the things I heard that he did to make it a practical application of some of those numbers in Sault Ste. Marie is he hired some young guys to do some video work for him. And for example, when they were going into the playoffs, what he asked their guys to look up was to go through the tape of the defenseman on the other team that they were going to play in the playoffs. As many touches as you could find in their own end, and what did they do? Did they pass the puck out of their zone? Did they carry the puck out of their zone? Or did they bang it off the glass? And you can't overwhelm your players with information. That is the biggest mistake that sometimes these analytic thinkers do. But what they were able to do is just give a short presentation to their players. Mm-hmm. When this defenseman has the puck in their zone, chances are he's going to pass it.
Isn't that just scouting?
But the thing is, when you can take a number to it, yeah, you can add something more. That's that.
They've been doing that in football for generations.
But I don't think they've been doing it in hockey for generations.
Right.
And I think, Ken, that is the value.
Yeah, that's the
practical
value
of analytics. Is if you can say, look, this is what a guy does, so understand his tendency, then that helps.
Well,
I don't think it's much more than that.
But
really,
see, that's what Jeff's getting to, is there is kind of a middle ground. What I really despise about this whole thing right now is that people seem, and it's probably easing up as we go along, is people just seem to dig in and just take sides in this whole thing.
No, it won't ease up for a while.
It's just ridiculous. It's like U.S. politics or something. You're with me or against me, and it's just, I find it infuriating, and I think that, like, people calling Dubas a stats whiz or a stats guru, I don't think that's right, because this guy has been around hockey. He's done a lot of things.
He's been an agent.
Right. He's not just a numbers guy.
Correct.
And if he brings something to the table that helps a desperate team, so be it. Whatever. But the fact that people should be waving their stats flag over this, I just don't buy
computing, that. To me, I'm in the middle on this, because I think there's the part of sport that has to do with the tendencies, but then it still has to be about coaching and teaching and executing and playing.
And finding good players.
Mm-hmm. And finding dudes who can ball.
Measure hard. Find a stat that measure hard.
Let's just stick to ball.
Okay.
But basic tendencies are all part of the coaching and the teaching aspect of it. It doesn't matter if it's hockey or football, even tennis now, everything is broken down to a tendency, percentages, what this player is going to do, where they're going to serve it, what they do in certain situations. This is just the evolution.
Right. As a kid, you're told, oh, we're playing this team. This team likes to play dump and chase. So now you just have a number
from a scouting standpoint,
pucks in deep, which I've been standing by, should be the next stat, PID, puck in deep. I'm just going to say that.
But the whole point is, if you can't scout and draft the kid who can stop the running back whose tendency is to go off tackle in a certain situation, or if you can't develop the tennis player who doesn't have a backhand return of serve kicking wide, then there's nothing. This is all just part of the conversation.
And you know, the thing people need to keep in mind about this as well. Baseball's undergone this tremendous statistical evolution. When you go to an arbitration hearing in baseball, none of that matters. It's about wins, pitchers' wins. And I had an agent tell me yesterday, you know what? If you have 18 wins and a 5 ERA, you're going to make more money in arbitration than a guy with 12 or 13 wins and a 3 ERA. Under 3.
It's the same thing in hockey. The advanced stands aren't allowed in arbitration.
Yeah, I know. Yep. And we know pitchers' wins are maybe the most useless stat ever invented in any sport, because it doesn't tell you how well the pitcher pitched. It tells you how well his team played.
Mark Burley will tell you that in New York.
Yeah, Mark Burley will tell you that in New York.
You know what I think it is? It's that, like, first of all, I thought the one thing I agree with you most in your blog yesterday, and I think you're going to see this, is he's going to go underground.
Oh, he's got...
He's going to go into witness protection.
Yeah.
And he should. And I think... But the thing is, it's that I just think it's unfortunate the way such battle lines have been drawn already. And will he have an impact on the organization? Well, you would hope he would as the assistant general manager. But is he really going to have that big an impact on the organization?
When's the last time you heard the assistant GM just won the Stanley
Cup?
I think it's a
really creative hire. The guy obviously shows a willingness to do some things and look at things differently. But I think the reaction to it over the last 2 or 3 days has been so overblown.
Ridiculous.
In Toronto, with all of our media, we blow everything out of proportion. This one, I think, has been really blown.
And we have guys digging in their heels, taking sides, too.
I think if you take a side, you're wrong.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it can't be one.
No, you're wrong.
It can't be one or the other. And like you were saying, there is somewhere in the middle. There has to be a mix. It can't be just one way.
There are teams in baseball that are 50-50 stats old school. There are teams like the Cardinals that are 55-45 depending on the year. And they swing it. And I've got to tell you, even Oakland, the idea that Billy Beane doesn't have any scouts is bull.
Yeah. It's both.
It has to be both.
At Pittsburgh last year. It's Clint Hurdle and Nick Leiva sitting down with their advanced guys and trusting it enough to try it and then finding out it works with some ways with the shifts and it doesn't work. And the ed stats guys being told, hey, even though it worked with the shifts, it didn't work with this. You're going to have to live with that. And everybody's saying, okay, because we're winning, we can all live with the results. Yeah. That's what it is.
It's going to go that way, and as I said, people will be exposed to charlatans. Believe me, there'll be numbers people who are going to be exposed as absolute charlatans. And on the other hand, there will be people that are going to revolutionize the way people look at the game. You know, in baseball, for every Mike Gimble, there was a Bill James,
right?
And that's going to happen in hockey. But the bottom line is, when it's all said and done, everybody's going to be, and they should, everybody's going to be taken a little bit from one place or another. And I mean, I keep pointing to the St. Louis Cardinals, Tony La Russa. I remember Tony La Russa standing down in the field talking about Moneyball, just hammering on Moneyball. Somebody said to him, wait a minute, Walt Jocketty, who was the guy that kind of hired Sandy Alderson and all these guys, you worked for him as well, didn't you? Tony said, yeah. And he said, but I mean, I'm not saying that Moneyball's all wrong, but he just said, I'm just saying that I don't consider us to be a Moneyball team. I mean, we have a little bit of human intelligence as well. And that's kind of what it all gets down to, is you try to find a balance between human intelligence and statistical.
One of the games in the 2011 World Series got rained out. La Russa went to Moneyball and left. Walked out of the movie.
I got into sports because I hated math. So
there you go. Yeah. Well, that's the right decision.
I got into sports so I couldn't do math.
Did you guys hear the one about the NFL team that wants to come to Toronto, or the Toronto types that want to bring the NFL team here? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the NFL, Ray Rice. You get in more trouble in the NFL for firing up a spliff than you do for assaulting somebody. Unreal. It's a Friday roundtable on Primetime Sports.
This hour of Primetime Sports is brought to you by Legend Boats.
Refresh the page and refresh your boring existence. Sportsnet 590. Rock90.ca.
Once upon a legend. It was a family weekend. So Sarah, Manny, my brother-in-law, we took the pontoon boat out. And in between all the eating, laughing, tubing, and cannonballs, we actually caught a few. But since no one wanted to clean the fish, it was a day of catch and release. Too bad I had to let a 6-foot sturgeon go.
Yeah, right.
Legend, the stuff boating dreams are made of.
Available at the Legend Boat Store, just south of Barrie, Innisfil Beach Road exit.
Everyone, breathe in and let your innermost intention come out as you release your breath for inner peace.
Happiness, hope, world peace.
And to find a new job.
Again, breathe with intention.
Happiness, hope, world peace.
To find a new job.
Did I hear find a new job?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes, I'm looking for a new job.
And that will help you find inner peace. Let us dig deeper, more global. Every